Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. Hey there, how's it going? What is the crack? It's Richard here all the way from Belfast with another episode of Safety School as part of safety.com. In this episode, we're going to cover the RIDOR regulations in brief. So we're going to look at the reporting of injuries, diseases and dangerous occurrences regulations in the UK. These regulations, if you haven't heard of them already, require employers, the self-employed and those in control of premises to report specified workplace incidents. So hopefully this little bit of guidance will give you an idea of what it's all about and whether certain types of incident are reportable for you. First of all, just to give a little bit of context, why is RIDOR important and why is it a regulation? The context of this is in 2017-18, there was estimated over 550,000 injuries that occurred at work and 1.4 million working people were suffering from a new or ongoing work-related illness. So those are the latest stats. Obviously, quite a number of people affected there. And RIDOR is in place to keep you as an employee and your colleagues safe at work. So legislation is important because it means that employers are held accountable for negligence, for bad working behaviours, and obviously they have to report out on anything that is deemed to be serious enough by the HSE in the guidance here. It goes without saying that employers and businesses don't particularly like sending RIDOR reports to the HSE because obviously it shines a spotlight on their business. So for the most part, it encourages people to perform better and try and avoid RIDOR reports in the first place. So if we took a look at the non-fatal RIDOR accidents that happen in the workplace, most of them are attributed to slips, trips or falls. If you listen to our episode on hazards, you would probably relate some of what we said to what I'm going to say now. Apart from that, manual handling, lifting and carrying objects or being struck by moving objects is a massive one, which accounts for almost 30% of the injuries. And then apart from that, it's falls from height. And as we mentioned before, acts of violence in the workplace actually take up 7% of RIDOR reportable, that's the non-fatal ones. And when it comes to fatalities, as we discussed in that previous podcast, falls from height are the major source of fatality, followed by being struck by a moving vehicle, being struck by moving objects, and so on. So you can find out those stats if you want to communicate them with your employees or your employer on the HSE website. Makes for some interesting reading on statistics and shows you where the most significant risk actually lies. You may be thinking, well, wouldn't it be easy just not to report the incidents when they happen? Of course, many people do avoid actually reporting, and that leaves them subject to scrutiny and punishment of an even more extreme nature. And if you ignore RIDOR and fail to report the incidents, of course, you're breaking the law. In 2011, Tesco admitted to not following essential procedures for reporting staff injuries at a couple of its stores and ended up getting quite a significant fine. Nowadays, if you do commit that same breach of the law, then the punishment is going to be more severe than what it was back then because of the sentencing guidelines that are in place now for health and safety law. So it's very much important to remain aware of that. Okay, you got that part, but how do you know what is actually reportable to the health and safety executive? The guidance is quite clear for RIDOR, thankfully, in terms of what you should actually report and when you should report to the HSE. Firstly, you have to report any work-related injury or illness that's caused by or aggravated by someone doing their work and results in them being absent or unable to fill their normal duties for more than 7 working days. So note that that's working days, not weekends or rest days. And also note that in Northern Ireland, this is actually 3 days. That's your limit. Apart from those instances where an injury or illness exceeds the threshold of working days missed, they also require you to report the following. First of all, deaths, which of course is an obvious one, needs to be reported immediately. The second one then is specified or specific injuries, which the HSE have a list of the types of injuries that require reporting, which I'll go through some of them in a little bit. And also the last one then is dangerous occurrences, which we'll cover in a few minutes time as well. Another couple of things to remember is to keep all your records secure and confidential, and the report to the HSE is completed via an online portal on their website, and that's really easily found by any search engine. If you type in HSE Red Or or Red Or Reportable into the search engine. Also remember, it is only those deemed responsible persons that can actually do the reporting process. Typically this will either be the employer or the representative. The self-employed person can of course do it themselves or via representative as well, or those in control of premises, if it's appropriate, should be the people that are reporting. And it's important that it's done as soon as possible. Typically a maximum of 10 days is allowed after the event takes place. If it's a 7 working day exceedance, then you may get a few extra days to fill in your form and get that submitted. I hear you ask, what if I can't figure out if I need to report? Red Or uses 3 tests to determine whether an incident is reportable. The first of which is the question, was it an accident which caused the injury? The guidance is, for an incident to be considered an accident, it needs to have had an identifiable external event which causes the injury. For example, if a broken leg has occurred due to a collision with a forklift, then that would be considered as an accident. If someone was bending down and they ended up with a back injury just because of the movement, but no collision or specific event that actually occurred, then that would not be considered a workplace caused incident. So it's important to determine that correctly before you move on to the next question, which is, was it work related? To decide whether an accident was in fact actually work related, you need to consider the following points. The first of which is the way in which the work was carried out. So how have you actually planned the work? What system of work have you put in place? What type of procedure has the person who's carried it out been trained in? And was that actually a contributing factor to incident actually occurring? The second part then is to ask, was any machinery or particular equipment or substances such as chemicals involved or contributing to the actual illness or injury? So during that activity, were you using specific equipment, machinery, or chemical substances that caused or had a contributing influence on the outcome? The last then is the condition of the site or premises that you're working on. Was that a significant factor in actually causing the accident or incident? Okay, so let's reflect on those first two parts then. If you've determined that an accident has caused the injury, in other words, an identifiable external event has existed, and that it was work-related, in other words, it has met one of the 3 criteria that I've just mentioned, then the final requirement that needs to be met is whether or not the injury, illness, or incident is considered reportable by the HSE. When we're talking about the certain workplace incidents that occur that are written or reportable, they come under 4 broad headings. The first one is specified injuries, which we discussed. That includes things like fractures, amputation, loss of sight, crush injuries, serious burns, etc., etc. There is a full list there on the HSE's website, which you can look at. The next one then is occupational diseases. If they're likely to have been caused or, very importantly, made worse by work practices, then they're considered as work-caused occupational diseases and must be reported under Red Or. That includes things like severe cramp of the hand or forearm, hand-arm vibration syndrome, carpal tunnel syndrome, tendonitis, dermatitis, asthma, occupational cancer, and so on. Again, there's a full list of those with the HSE that you can check. The next one then is dangerous occurrences. So what these are really are extreme or highly significant near-miss incidents that could have caused severe harm to people. And they include things like explosions or fire that resulted in having to stop work for a sustained period of time. Other than that, you've got things like planter equipment coming into contact with power lines, load-bearing parts of lifts collapsing or failing, lifting equipment overturning or failing as well. There's a list of types of occurrences that the HSE wants to know about. They've taken the information from obviously where fatalities and serious incidents have occurred and identified the ones that they want to know about. So check that whole list out just so you're aware of it. If something has happened in your workplace and you're wondering should you report it, then just refer to that for you. The final category then is relating to gas incidents. So if you are a supplier of gas or you're in the supply chain for gas products, I would definitely check that out and look at the requirements there to make sure that you're reporting in line with the law. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.